woman who turned her love and appreciation of the built environment into a pioneering career as an architecture critic has died. Ada Louise Huxtable was 91. Her attorney, Robert Shapiro, says Huxtable died yesterday at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in Manhattan after an illness. Huxtable began working at the New York Times in 1963 and went on to receive the first Pulitzer Prize for criticism in 1970. Most recently, she wrote for the Wall Street Journal, including a piece about the New York Public Library. Here to discuss Huxtable's career and legacy is the architecture critic for New York Magazine, Justin Davidson. Good morning, Justin.
Good morning.
You know, you can could describe Huxtable's criticism a lot of ways: bold, brash, irreverent. How would you describe it?
Authoritative. She really put a lot of argument behind every opinion. So nothing just came out of the blue. She really built it up almost legalistically, trying to understand how a building worked. So behind all these, you know, zingers and turns of phrase, there was a real kind of methodical way of looking at architecture.
And she was extremely influential. I mean, did builders really fear her?
You know, I think you have to cast yourself back to the early 60s when she started doing this, where really there was no voice in daily journalism to criticize anything the builders were doing. And so you had these incredibly powerful people suddenly being told in public that they were rapacious, that they did not have the public interest at heart in many cases, but also praise for when they did things really well. So I think she created an atmosphere in which those development decisions could be challenged. And we take that for granted today. It's not entirely due to her, but she really kind of changed the conversation. So New Yorkers didn't just watch things go up and then, you know, passively. They really got engaged.
How much of an influence was Huxtable on your writing?
Tremendous. I mean, I have disagreed with her on substance fairly regularly. But, boy, you know, you really have to be on your toes in order to do so. So she really kind of sits on my shoulder sometimes as a critic and, you know, makes me argue my points. Whether I'm agreeing with her or not, there's always this feeling that you really need to make your argument as sharply as possible because, you know, in a sort of hypothetical debate, you've got to be alert.
Now, you've also taught criticism as a professor. What do you think is the example Huxtable sets for aspiring writers?
Clarity. She had immense control over the English language. She also had control over her ideas, and she combined those in a way that's really daunting to try to emulate. I mean, she was, you know, at 90, she was the first, but she was also the best. And I don't think many of my colleagues would be offended if I said that, you know, at 90 she was still writing rings around the rest of us. And that kind of ability to marshal incredible amounts of information, her love for the city, her love of architecture, and just this total command over the language resulted in this sort of the prose equivalent of these really crystalline glass skyscrapers that she admired so much.
In what may be her last piece in the Wall Street Journal, Huxtable writes about the New York Public Library, which she calls the city's most important landmark, and she lambastes redevelopment plans for it. Does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't, because she was a really ardent preservationist. She wasn't a thoughtless preservationist. She didn't think that everything ought to be preserved, but she really combined her understanding and love for modern architecture and her realization that the city needed to be changing constantly with a really refined sense of what needed to be preserved as a counterweight to that. And the library was a good example. She felt that the engineering of the library, the stacks that hold up the core of the library, ought to be preserved, even though they're really out of sight. I happen not to agree with her about that issue, but she made her case very persuasively, as always.
And what do you think will be her lasting legacy on New York City?
I think her lasting legacy is this environment in which every architectural decision gets questioned and had to be defended. You know, I think it's also in the fact that the New York Times has continued to write about architecture, to feature it ever more prominently, and also just that it's so much a part of the conversation. She really set the terms for being able to look at a building and judge a building by whether or not it worked, by whether it belonged in the place it is. She always felt that if you were going to build something in New York City especially, that you had a public responsibility to do it as well as possible. That's more often been honored in the breach, but you know, that's a standard she's holding buildings and builders to, and I think that's something that a lot of other people have taken on.
All right, well, thanks so much for joining us this morning, Justin.
Thank you, Stiers.
New York Magazine architecture critic Justin Davidson.